ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधी साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि ॐ ह्रीं दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यं वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शंभवे ह्रीं ॐ मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्र मरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुः सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः श्री भगवानुवाच अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे गतासो न गतासोंश्च गतासो न गतासोंश्च नानुशोचन्ति पण्डिताः नानुशोचन्ति पण्डिताः गतासो न गतासोंश्च गतासो न गतासोंश्च नानुशोचन्ति पण्डिताः नानुशोचन्ति पण्डिताः पण्डिताः न अनुशोचन्ति वैस् पीपल् डु नाट् ग्रीव् हू आर् द वैस् पीपल् पीपल् हू हाव् दि नालेज् आफ् द सेल्फ् हू नो वाट् द सेल्फ् इस् who know what is the substance of the substantive I, who have understood the pure consciousness as the substance of the substantive I, thereby who have understood the substance of the substantive universe being pure consciousness. Thereby those who do not see a second thing other than the reality, those who dissolve the whole universe, everything, as everything in consciousness, those who understood the whole jagat as the manifestation of the reality, they are the wise people. For whom the duality, the plurality, the multiplicity is empirically real, for whom the non-duality is absolutely real, and they are the wise people, panditaha. Te panditaha, such people do not grieve. Why? What is the connection? Why they do not grieve? Because such people, they are the wise people. They are the people who have understood all the subtle facts of life, subtle realities of life. What do we mean subtle realities of life? They know what can be changed, what cannot be changed, over which we have, what is subject to change, what is not subject to change, what is real, what is not real, what is as though real, what is subject to change, what is not subject to change, what can be changed, what cannot be changed. These things, they have understood. Therefore, they accept anything which is subject to change as subject to change. They can accept anything which is not subject to change as not something as not subject to change. They can accept the facts. Okay, it means people who can accept the facts can remain unaffected, can remain unafflicted. They are fine. Therefore, and there is no grief. It means they have got the grief. Everything they have got. All different degrees of pain for them is just a state of mind, and any no state of mind, no thought is not outside of consciousness. So they look at everything as manifestation of the reality. Therefore, they say God resolved everything as one thing. Such people, the wise people, they are not shaken by anything. They remain strong, okay, unaffected by anything. Those people do not grieve. Panditaḥ na anuśocanti. And last class, so I told you the meaning of this word tvam. This tvam shochasi, tvam anuśocaha, tvam anvaśocaha, tvam anuśocasi, tvam anvaśocaha. You grieve for those means. I told you the word that the tvam there, the second person singular pronoun tvam, which is there, in fact, is to be understood as the tvam in the Mahavakyam tattvam asi. I told you, if you see the tvam, I told you, it is the, we have to see the lakshyartham of the tvam, not the vachyartha of the tvam, okay? So, tattvam is Mahavakyam, the tvam is equated to tat. Tat stands for Ishwara, the Lord, the whole. Tvam stands for you, the individual. That means, how can you, the individual, be equated to the Lord, the whole? Okay, we have to see two meanings there. The tvam has vachyartha, tat also has vachyartha, the literal meaning. And also, the tvam has lakshyartha, the implied meaning. Tat also has lakshyartha, implied meaning. So from the standpoint of the vachyartha, the literal meaning, the difference is definitely there. We don't deny the empirical difference between you, the individual, and the Ishwara, the whole. The whole universe, you are part of the whole. Therefore, you as an individual, the given body, mind and complex, definitely you are small. You are alpajnaha, alpashaktiman, you are small in terms of many things. You are small. Ishwara is the whole, the almighty, definitely all-knowing. Definitely the difference is there. Empirical difference is not denied here. We accept the empirical difference. But what is absolute non-difference only we are not aware of. Absolutely, from the standpoint of the lakshyartha, you are non-different from the Lord, the whole. Understand? So, and here, what is empirically real is subject to definitely change. Whatever is empirically real, that is subject to change. Okay, the whole jagat, I told the meaning of the word jagat, jayate gacchati iti jagat, the very word tells anything which is part and parcel of the jagat is what? Subject to change. Why? That is the nature. That is how it is. Nothing remains constant. Okay, that's why the law of uncertainty also is uncertain sometimes, We hear everything is subject to change. All this constantly, it is changing. That is why jagat is called jagat. So any nama rupa, anything that is seen here, the object of perception, okay, all the vachyarthas are subject to change. That is the nature. And we cannot stop anything from changing. That is the nature. The change is something which is unchangeable here. Therefore, this is the fact about what is subject to change. What is subject to change cannot be stopped from undergoing changes. So, what is not subject to change is the Chaitanya, the Lakshyartha, the implied meaning of the Tvam, the implied meaning of the Tat is one and the same, that is pure consciousness, that Chaitanyam is not subject to any change at all. Why? That is the nature, Swarupam. Understand? So, Atmanaha Swarupam Kim, Atma is not subject to change. Avyayaha, we are going to see later on. And Anatma is subject to change. Understand? So, whatever is subject to change is definitely differs from each other. The differences are there within the realm of this empirical world and empirical reality, things which fall in the realm of empirical reality. They are subject to change. Therefore, what is absolutely real is not subject to change, and what is empirically real, what seems to be empirically real, is subject to change. This is what is understanding a fact. Okay? Once I understand what cannot be changed from changed. What was prevented from changing, once I understand what cannot be changed at all, then I accept. So these wise people, who are these wise people? Who know what is not subject to change, who know what cannot be prevented from changing. Okay? Once they have understood the fact, then they know, oh, Atma. Atma, when you say, this is the word, the self, the reflexive pronoun. Sarvam apnoti iti atma. That which pervades everything is atma. So this, the last class we saw, I explained to you, through this drishti veka prakriya, I helped you to arrive, understand what what is consciousness. That consciousness is implied by the word atma. The same consciousness implied by the word Brahman. We are going to see later on all those things. But anyway, now let me tell you here. So therefore, the Atma is not subject to change. That is the Atma Swarupam. That is the nature of the Atma. And Anatma, the manifestation of Atma, what are all the Namarupas, is what subject to change. So those who have understood this, then they accept the facts. They don't need to grieve over what cannot be changed. They don't need to grieve over what cannot be stopped from changing. This also is the maturity. The mature people, the wise people, who know the subtle facts through the understanding of the reality, absolute reality, and they remain strong and quiet. That is what is he said as through this Panditaha na anashochanti. Understood? And he continues. Okay, last class, I told you, we have to understand the Lakshyartham, the implied meaning of the word Tvam. When I say Tvam, the Vachyartha is you. When I say you, I mean your physical body, I mean the personality, the physical personality, the mental, emotional personality, I need the intellectual personality, I need somebody, you. It is you. But what is the Lakshyartham of the Tvam? Without understanding the Lakshyartham of the Tvam, it is not possible for us to understand the Lakshyartha, the implied meaning of the third person singular pronoun Tat, which stands for Ishvara. Without understanding the Lakshyartham, you can't understand the non-difference between you and Ishvara. With understanding the non-difference between you and Ishvara, you can't understand yourself being equal to the Lord, the whole Jagat being Ishvara, yourself being the Lord. It's not possible. Therefore, the Lakshyartha has to be understood. And to understand the Lakshyartham of Tvam, first you need only by understanding the Lakshyartham, the implied meaning of the Tvam Pada, you can understand the Lakshyartham of the whole Ishvara Tat. And how can you understand that? We have the first Drik Drishya Viveka Prakriya. I told you last class, the method of unfoldment, of the subject-object, okay, the subject-object analysis. We saw that last class. I told you how anything indicated by any other pronoun except I, is an object of knowledge. And therefore, this physical body, this mind, these senses, all these things can be indicated by the pronoun this, 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 this. You come nearest. Okay, if you start from there, start with the word tat, that, and come closer, this, 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 this. How close you can take? This I. You know, the knowledge that I am is the nearest self. The knowledge that I am is the nearest. And where does that knowledge I exist? Last time we analyzed, no, because I don't have much time here. I'm going to tell you now this is. So, where is the knowledge that I exist? Because the knowledge that I am, to understand that, okay? Where does it exist? Understanding the locus, the location, the existence of that I is about understanding the reality of the whole jagat. That's the only way you can understand. There's no other way. That is why, so we negate everything and we saw the knowledge that I am is also thought modification, is also state of mind, which is there very much in waking state. That is why we do not need to ask anybody else, am I present here? I don't need to ask anybody else because all of us know, I know I am, you know you are, everybody knows I am. All of us know I am. Okay, I mean, I am. See, therefore, this knowledge that I am is very much then waking state. And in what happens? In deep sleep state, I told you, in dream state also the same, okay, I am. How do I know I am? I know I am. Therefore, when you say I know I am, the knowledge that I am also is an object of knowledge. When you say I know I am, understand? What is known is what? Different. You, the knower, are different from the known. Therefore, I know. I am. I am is what? The knowledge, the thought modification, ahankara, I said. Okay, that's known there. Therefore, there's also an object of knowledge. And similarly, and that the knowledge that I am remains resolved in deep sleep state. In deep sleep state, the whole jagat is not there. The universe is not there because the perception is not there. The perception is not there because sense powers remain resolved. Why the perception is not taking place? Jagat is not there. In deep sleep state, jagat is there. The universe is very much there. The universe is as good as non-existent for you, the one who is asleep. Why the universe is as good as non-existent for you? Because it is not perceived. And if it is not known, it is as good as non-existent. Why it is not known? It is not perceived. Why it is not perceived? Because senses are asleep. Why senses are asleep? Sense powers remain resolved. Why sense powers remain resolved? Because the mind remains resolved. Why does the mind remain resolved? That's the nature of the mind. That is how the mind functions. And as I say, it has to fall asleep. It has to remain resolved for some time. Then it has to wake up. That is how the mind is in order, okay? There is a minding, so mind falling asleep, mind, there's a dream being there, mind waking up is what? It's within the realm of function of minding. That is how it functions. There's an order involved there. You can't ask, why does the mind fall asleep? My God, goodness, we're falling asleep. What will happen? Imagine. We have the best, every day we have apekshika moksha, temporary moksha we have every day when you fall asleep. When you wake up, samsara begins. Isn't it? That is how the mind functions. That is the order involved in the... I can't stop the mind from falling asleep. Okay? I can't stop the mind from waking up from sleep also. I have no say over the function of minding. We have no say over any function. Because it is automatic, it is natural, there is an order involved in that, mind falls asleep. Then, that means the mind remains resolved. Mind falling asleep means mind remaining resolved. When the mind remains resolved, what all the thoughts remain resolved, there is no pain, there is no pleasure, there is no experience, nothing. The knowledge that I am also remains resolved. When you wake up from sleep next day morning, you say, well, if you happen to say, I had a very sound sleep, I had a very good sleep, I slept very well, I didn't even know I was, you are able to say, that means the knowledge that I am also is not there in deep sleep state. That is why nobody can make out exactly when you fell asleep. Can you say, this is the time I fell asleep? Can you say that? You cannot say, because you are not there. You must be there to say, what time did you fall and fall asleep? Understand? You don't know. Nobody can exactly say, what time exactly I fell asleep. I think around 11 o'clock you can say. I went to bed this time, you can say, but what time exactly you fell asleep? Nobody can say, because you are not there to know. Okay? The knowledge that I am is not there in deep sleep state. But when you wake up, you say that you didn't know that you were not there. Okay? That means there was something else, okay, something which was present, because the presence of which the knowledge that I am being not there was known. That is what is, we say, pure consciousness. The same consciousness is there, knowing, even in dream state. That is why the dream is experienced. And next day morning, you are able to narrate the dream, because in dream state also, the same awareness is there. In waking state, the same awareness is there. Awareness keeps awake, knowing the mind falling asleep, mind keeping awake, the dream being there in the mind. So all three is avasthatraya sakshi. We say, trayaha tisraha avasthaha, kaha tisraha avastaha, swapna avastha, jagrat avastha, sushupti avastha. We have tisraha avastaha, three states of mind. In three states of mind, three states of experience, what is there, like the fourth person witnessing all three experience, okay, is the turiyaha. Turiyaha means chaturthaha. Please, people think turiya means on state, on given special state, where you get remain intoxicated like, no. Turiyaha means chaturthaha. Chaturthaha means fourth. Fourth means what? There's no fourth person like the fourth person. Upanishad has a beautiful way of presenting it. Like the fourth person, one who is present in all the three states of experience, that which is present in all three states of experience, knowing all three states of experience without doing any action to know, just by being present there. Understand? One who knows that which is there, like the witness, sakshi rupena, sakshi vatu, like the witness, one who is present, no? Just by his presence, all is the chaitanyam, pure consciousness. Why does it know? Why does consciousness know? What? Consciousness knows? No, consciousness does not know. But still, how is it known then? Because consciousness is there. Then is consciousness knowing then? Does consciousness know? Yes, consciousness knows. Then is it an action? No, it's not an action. Then what is it, this knowing? The swarupam. Understand? Knowing is the swarupam of consciousness. It's not an action of consciousness. Why? Because suppose we say there is sun on above and the sun illumines the whole jagat. Everything is now seen, everything comes to light because there is sun above. Can we say that sun is the illuminator? We can't say sun is the illuminator. Why? Because sun does not claim himself to be the illuminator. I, the sun, I am the only illuminator. Sun does not say that. Why? Because this illumining is not an action of the sun. Sun, what action does the sun need to do to illumine the whole jagat? Sun needs to be there. Okay? Sun is Suryaha Pratyaksha Devataha. Suryaha Bhati. Surya Prakashe Samagram Jagat Bhati. The whole jagat comes to light. Because illumining sun doesn't need to do any special karma, special action, doesn't need to use the will. Oh, I have to get up in the morning, I have to illuminate. There's nothing in his street, he didn't do anything. Just some Suryaha is, everything comes to light. That means illumining is the swarupam, the nature. Because even the nature, the word is very limited. It's not as expressive as the word swarupam, but still I use the word swarup, nature. Okay, the prakashanam, illumining is swarupam of the sun. Similarly, knowing, please understand, the first swarupam we have to know about the Artha Chaitanyam. Knowing is the swarupam of the consciousness, awareness. Okay, that's why it's called awareness. This is called consciousness. The vastu is implied by the term consciousness, awareness, because sensing, knowing is the swarupam. It's not an action. Understand? And Chaitanyam is there, everything is known. all the thoughts are known. And that Chaitanyam is not subject to change. Knowing is the Swarupam of consciousness, and that consciousness, okay, which is there present in all three states of experience, like the fourth person, knowing all three states of experience, okay, that Chaitanyam, who is the Drik, you know, the knower. In fact, consciousness is not the knower, but there is no knower other than consciousness. Therefore, from the standpoint of the known, the knower is consciousness. Consciousness is not the knower. Is it okay? Sun is not the illuminator, but from the standpoint of the universe which is illumined, we say the illuminator of the universe is the sun. Similarly, the knower of the, understand? The knower of the mind is what? Consciousness. And that consciousness is not subject to change. Why? Changelessness is the Swarupam of consciousness. I want to understand here this next point. Okay, changelessness is the nature of the consciousness. Therefore, now he says, really speaking, what cannot be, suppose death of any physical body cannot be stopped. I told, I talked to you last class about the death. Death is nothing but the change. Okay? There's no such thing called real destruction, absolute destruction. The, any change is relative destruction. And everything in this world except consciousness, everything in this world is subject to this relative destruction, which is called change. Okay? I mean, that means everything is subject to change. Constantly there will be changing, which can't be stopped. So is it necessary for us to grieve over things which are subject to change? That is the nature. We can't undo that, stop that. Similarly, this consciousness are not subject to change. It is necessary for us to grieve over consciousness being unchangeable and being subject to change. Understand? This is the question. Therefore, once you understand this, you will not grieve. Okay? And all these things, when these subtle facts are not understood, then we have this I sense, my sense. Okay? Having concern is different, but being attached and grieving over unnecessary things is immaturity. I don't want to say the word foolishness, immaturity, because any immature person can become mature. I don't want to use the word foolishness, because nobody is fool. It is not according to Shastram. We can never condemn anybody saying you are a fool, you are a sinner, etc., etc. Nobody is a sinner. Basically, nobody is a fool, in fact. Understand? Either immature or mature. And every immature person is expected to become mature. You are immature because you don't know things. When you know things, you become mature. That's all. It's a question of knowing. Question of time. Therefore, and Krishna continues now. Now you know what is subject to change, what is not subject to change. Understand? So next shloka he says, so we all think before the birth of this body. I think before the birth of this body, I did not exist. I think I did not exist. I was not there. Okay, before the birth of your body, I think you were not there. You also think you were not there before. And all these people who are around, whatever is here now, before their birth, we think they were not there before. And we also think when we are alive in these bodies, we are here. And after the death of this physical body, we think we will not be there afterwards. Okay, but really speaking, that is not true. Before the birth of this body, you were, I was. All these people, other people were there, and all of us will always be, ever be, even after the death of this body. How? Absolutely. Okay? I told you already, this anatma is subject to relative destruction, the death, which is called relative destruction, the change. It only, it's there, it's constantly changing, it is there, anatma. Atma, unchangingly, it is there. Unchangeably, unchangingly, it is there. Atma is there. Anatma is there, Anatma also continues to exist undergoing changes. Atma continues to exist without undergoing changes. Understand? This is how things are. So he says here, therefore, we think I was not there, we were not there. That's not true. Therefore, whatever was there before is now, whatever is now will ever be. Whatever was there before is now, whatever is now will ever be. There was never a time what is there now was not there before. There will never be a time what is there now will not be in future. Understand? There are two things. One thing is has been there eternally, timelessly, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, consciousness. Then other thing, anatmaha, what is apart from consciousness, whatever was, is, will ever be undergoing changes. This is the nature, this is the order, this is how Bhagavan is, the order works. Okay? Therefore, he is going to say here, in fact, I tell you a short thing. If you think, what do you think? Okay, you were born. When were you born? You have a date of birth. They mean, are you sure you did not exist before you were born? I'm sure. I know very well I was not there before I was born. I ask you the question, how do you know you were not there before you were born? How do you know? Because your being not there is known to you now. You were not there before you were born. Okay, before the birth of this body, you were not being there. You are not being there before the birth of your body is known to you. Isn't it? I did not exist before the birth of this body. That means you were not there. You're not being there before your birth is known to you now. That means what? How is it known? How is it possible? That means the awareness. Please understand, okay? The awareness will be very, very... Is it confusing?
Exact parallel of deep sleep.
Yeah. Understand, therefore, there's no such thing. The awareness, which is the substance of the substantive I, the pure consciousness, is always there. Understand? The knowledge that you were there before the birth, you are not there before the birth. That's the knowledge. So he says here, Ghatadishu Viyad Iva. Now, Ghataha means part, no? And Viyad means space. Suppose if there is a space, I tell you, we have to, see, there is a part, and the part occupies some space. And that space, really speaking, we can't say there is a Ghata space, a Ghatakashaha. Ghata akashaha means ghate viyad iva means what? Inside the ghata, the part, there is space. It's called part space. Really speaking, what is this part space? Is there such a space called part space? There's no space, part space. What is there is only space. And this space is called mahan akashaha. Mahadviyad, okay? He's called mahan akashaha. Why? Because from the standpoint of the part space, We say this space is what? Mahakashaha. This part space, does it exist outside of the Mahakasha, the space? No. Really speaking, there's no such thing called a part space at all. What is there is only space. And that space is one indivisible, partless whole, which is spatially limitless space. Spatially limitless, indivisible, partless whole is the space. And from the stand, but because this part which exists in space seems to have limited the space. Which the part itself exists in space, stands in space, and as if it has divided the space. The division looks, the seeming difference, seeming deficient. We do say part space, bathroom space, kitchen space, the drawing room space, bedroom space. All this was stand in space, really speaking. That they seem to be dividing the space, but really speaking, they can never divide the space because they themselves stand in space. Mm-hmm. Understand?
Divide the space, okay.
Pardon? Divide
the space. I didn't understand the word.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Always he reminds me that I should be slow. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So anyway, they themselves stand in space. They seem to be dividing. Really, they seem as though they divide the space. How can they divide it? They don't really divide the space. But they seem as if they divide the space. They themselves stand in space. Understand? Similarly here, this consciousness has no beginning, no end, no object to change. This Swarupam is knowing. Changelessness is its Swarupam. Knowing is its Swarupam. And that consciousness is in fact the substance of the substantive I. Understand? Like water is the substance of the substantive wave. The substance of the substantive I. Substance of the substantive all the thought waves. The anger, desire, everything is pure consciousness. And that pure consciousness is not born, doesn't come to an end. In that consciousness, the births take place, the deaths take place, all the changes take place. Birth is a change, death is a change. In between birth and death, there are many changes take place. All these changes take place, okay? And the part of the anatma, in consciousness, the changes happen, but no change takes place. And the part of consciousness. Understand? So like the part comes into being and the part exists in space, part exists in space and as if it divides the space and part perishes in space, but what happens to the space? Understand? Similarly, so before the birth of the body, I the self am the consciousness. Okay? I as the consciousness did exist. I, the self, am the consciousness, am very much here now, and I, the self, am the consciousness, okay? I, as the consciousness, will ever be. Similarly, that consciousness is the self of all, me, you, and all these kings. Therefore, all of us were there before as consciousness. All of us are here as pure consciousness. All of us will ever be as pure consciousness without any change, under any changes. And all this, like part, how part comes into being, part exists in space and part perishes in space. All these physical bodies, you know, would have been, many lives would have gone. And in all those, deha utpatti vinasheshu, dehas, many bodies must have come into being, many bodies must have been there, many bodies must have been perished. That's the nature. Okay? Therefore, all of them, In all of them, we are the Eva, I existed. Understand? You existed. All of us existed as the self. Understand? Mm-hmm. I don't know what's the selves. I don't say the self. Mm-hmm. So, atiteshu, deha, utpatti, what do you see? Vinaseshu, Ghatadishu, Ghata Adishu. Why Ghata? That is one example, okay? Like any object exists in space. Why Ghata Adishu? Adishabda stands for all the objects which exist in space. In fact, which object does not exist in space? Anything which exists only in space. Understand? Nothing is outside of space. Understand? So all that exists in space, come into being, remain in space, they disappear in space. Understand? The space is always there. Like that. ghata adishu viyad iva nityaha eva. Nityaha eva. That eva karaha emphatically expresses nityaha eva. See, the word nityaha is a very nice word. Nityaha means what? Eternal. Eternal means what? Beginningless, endless, changeless. That which is not subject to change at all. Beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, that which remains is eternal. And therefore, here, nityaha, okay? All the objects that exist in space exist, come into being, stay and disappear, undergo changes. But the space remains unchanging, okay? Remains, whether it change. Like that, the consciousness, the self, the substance of the substantive I in all of us, okay? Was there, is there, will ever be. That's the meaning here. Aham,
asam,
iti, abhiprayah, tatha, similarly, not only me, don't think myself, yourself and myself and the selves of these people, all the selves are one and the same self. Understand? It's like that. How the water is the self, the truth, the reality, the existence, the substratum of the wave, similar, same water, the same H2O is the substance of all the waves. Similarly, when it's I, you and these things, for all of us, the self is the same pure consciousness, absolutely. Therefore he says, natvam, na asihi. It's not that you were not there before, kintu, asihi eva. It was not that you were not there before, you were very much there, like how I was, tatha. Na ime, janadhipaha, na asan, not that these kings were not there before, they were, you were, I was, kintu, asan eva, tatha, na cha eva, na bhavishyamaha. Similarly, it is not that we will not be, kintu, bhavishyamaha eva, sarve, vayam, ataha. See, ataha means hereafter, thereafter, after what? Asman, asmat, deha vinashat param, uttarakale api. See, it's not that we will not be hereafter. Ataha, ataha means atah param, hereafter. Hereafter means when? When hereafter? Deha, uttarakale api, deha vinashat param, asmat, deha vinashat. Asmat deha vinashat param uttarakale api, in future, after the death of the physical body also, we will all be. Nice thing to know, isn't it? We'll all of us will ever be. Okay, absolutely we will all be. Don't worry. The only thing is you can't come and enjoy your bread and toast. You need this. That is what we will miss, no? There's a problem with this. We always long for small things, okay? But it's a truth, okay? Really speaking, what do you mean by word I? What is I really speaking? Where is the I sitting separately, okay? You undo the postmortem of all these things, and this different way of doing postmortem, okay? Different, physical anatomy is different. And you see everything, remove everything. What is that? My God, where is this? Okay, where does this I sit? Where can we place I? Everything is reduced as an object of knowledge. Everything is negated as an object of knowledge. And I am the knowledge. It's also knowledge. What is it? It's a thought. Where is it? It's also an object of knowledge. Then what is it which is subject of knowledge? What is it evident to? Okay, what is it? What is the evidence for this knowledge that I am being there? That evidence, the knowledge that I am also is evident to what? Pure consciousness. Okay, what is consciousness? Evidence. What is the evidence there? That is consciousness, and that consciousness is Nityaha. Katham Veda Vyad Ghatadishu Vyadiva. No beginning, no end, no change is there. What Swarupam? Knowing is the Swarupam. That is why you know very well before that your date of birth, you did not exist. It is known to you. Isn't it? You have to just think.
As an individual.
No, I tell you one thing. You know, when you wake up from sleep, you know very well, you slept well, and in sleep, you know that you were not there. You know you were, I mean, you know that the knowledge that I wasn't there. I am wasn't there. The knowledge that I am is not there in deep sleep state. It's true or not? The knowledge that I am is not there. That is what total resolution of mind. Okay? The mind can be completely passive. You can say the mind is fast asleep. The mind is completely passive. When can you say? You should not be there. What I say when you say you should not be there? You are not there. The knowledge that I am is not there. And the knowledge that I am being not there is known. When? Not when you are asleep. When you wake up from sleep. You have to wake up from sleep to know. Understand? The knowledge I am wasn't there. You have to wake up from sleep. And understand? So where, how do you know that? There is something which is there knowing the knowledge that I am being not there. Similarly, when you wake up a new body, when you know you are in his body, and you know very well before the birth of this body was not there. Okay, you can say this body was not there. If you say that, okay, because identity is there with the body, you very much say, I wasn't there. This is my birth date of birth. I was not even born. I was not there.
God, I'm asking you, is that something you know?
Yeah. When you say, I wasn't there, you're not being there before the birth is known at present now. That means something was there. The present knowledge that you were not there before, is knowledge, piece of knowledge. Listen, that knowledge exists where? In awareness. Understand?
It's okay, it's just the knowledge that I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I'm questioning. I just wonder whether that knowledge has been
passed. That's why what I'm saying here, that knowledge, you know, that means that knowledge is possible, there's something which is aware of that. That consciousness, no, was there. The pure awareness was there even before. As pure awareness, you were there before, you are now, you will ever be. Not that, because that consciousness, pure awareness is not many. Okay, people always ask all these questions, you see. There are many consciousnesses. This one indivisible, partless whole.
So it's the same as in deep sleep, the same, you weren't there in deep sleep.
Yeah.
The same as before birth, know you weren't there. It's the same.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
But anyway, don't worry about it. If it is not clear, don't worry about it, please. We will take care of it. Okay? Give me some time, we will take care of it. You keep listening, keep on listening. Things will fall in their place. Okay, don't worry, nothing to worry about. Just simply I pushed it just for you to think. We'll leave it for time being.
But it is interesting how we are completely certain that we didn't exist before we were born. There's complete certainty about that. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. What was not there definitely is only this physical body.
We're so certain about it.
Yeah, we are very definite. That is why we don't know many things which happened before the birth. Because you didn't see things, okay? For you to know what happened there, See, what I said is substance of the substantive, I, the pure consciousness, existed even before. Understand, this physical body was not there. Okay, because physical body was not there, no perception was not there, was there, there was nothing you knew. Therefore, for certain you know you were not there before, means physically, okay, empirically you did not exist before. But absolutely you did exist before as pure consciousness, but as awareness.
But nothing was known.
No.
Before, nothing was known.
And here our idea is, what we are interested in is, what are the two things? One is Atma, one is Anatma. And are there two different things? No. Atma is not Anatma, but Anatma is nothing but the Atma. Like water is not the wave, but the wave is nothing but the water. Understand here? So here this, the Anatma is subject to change, Atma is not subject to change. We cannot change. We have no say over that. So we mistake the Anatma for the Atma, and we understand. So when the Anatma undergoes changes, we get affected by that. So if we understand Anatma is Anatma, is subject to change, we understand the fact about it, we accept it, we are mature. You don't understand we are Samanya Atmas. Understand we are Mahatmas. Understand? What are Mahatma? Okay, all of us are Mahatmas. Okay. Sarve Vayamatah Param. So he says here, Deha Vinashat Param Uttara Kale Api. So he says, Trishwapi Kale Shu Nityaha Atma Rupena Ityarthaha. Atma Rupena Natu Anatma Rupena. Please underline this sentence. Trishu Api Kale Shu. Why Kalaha is Akarantha Pullinga Shabdaha. Akarantha Pullinga Kala Shabdaha. This is Sattamyam Bahuvachane. Trikaleshu iti rupam. So what yellingam yadvachanam? Therefore, whatever is the noun, no, the adjective should take the form of the noun. Trishu kaleshu. In threes, in times, you don't need to say in English language, we're hearing three times also. In all three periods of time, past, present and future. Trishu api kaleshu. No? Trishvapi. Trishu api kaleshu. He says, Trishvapi kaleshu. Nityaha.
Nityaha.
Nityaha, Trishu api kalesha, Trishu api kalesha, Guru Sandhi.
Kalyamachi.
Huh?
Kalyamachi. Oh, very good.
Okay, Trishu. Trishu api kalesha, Nityaha, Katham Nityaha, we are eternal, we do exist eternally in all three periods of time, being free from time, without being bound by time, without being affected by time, being aware of time, even the time is not there, as a devourer of the very time, the devourer of everything, we have been there. Devouring time, we've been there. How? Atma Rupena. In the form of the Atma. As the Atma, Trishu Api Kaleshu Nityaha. Anatma Rupena Anityaha, that we don't like. Atma Rupena Nityaha, Anatma Rupena Anityaha. Okay, why Anatma Anityam, Anityaha, Atma Nityaha, that is the fact about two things. Okay, then if you think you're Anatma, it's a problem. If you think you're Atma, then no problem. You don't think actually, you know that you're Atma. If you think your Atma is a problem still. Okay, you have to know that you are Atma. You don't simply think, okay? It's not enough you think you are Atma. You have to know that you are Atma. Knowing is different from thinking, isn't it? Therefore, he says here, Nityaha Atma Swarupena Ityartaha. Anatma Swarupena Vera Nityaha. We will be changing. Atma Swarupena Nityaha. See, Deha Bhuta Anuvritya Bahuvachanam. Because Deha Bheda Anuvritya Bahuvachanam. Deha Bheda, why Bhagavan is Bahuvachanam here? Why Mataparam? Because from the standpoint of the bodies, all of us will always be there. Means what? As the self, all of us were, all of us are, all of us will ever be. But even though the Bheda Anuvritti here is what? The standpoint of the physical bodies. The standpoint of the self, There's no Bahuvachanam possible. Understand? See, I want to tell you one thing. Trishu api kaleshu. Now, in all three periods of time, Nityaha, Atma Rupe Nityaha, we remain eternal as the Self means what? The Self. Why do we say the Self? What is Self? Atma. Now, when you say the Satyam, the Truth, the Reality, the Substance, okay, which is now the only Vastu, the cause is the Self, in fact. Like in every wave, Self is the water. In all the waves, Self is the water. The Self of the entire ocean is the water. And the Self, the water, the cause, the substratum, the existence of the waves is what now it remains pervading everything. It is all pervasive. That is why Atma, the word, the substance, is also indicated by the word Atma, because Sarvam Apnoti, that which has reached everything. Sarvam Apya Vyapnoti Apnoti iti is called Atma. Understand? Self means, Atma does not mean the Self. Atma means all pervasive. That which pervades everything is Atma. We simply use the English words Atma, Self. Because Self is all pervasive. Therefore, Atma being all self, self being all pervasive, Atma means all pervasive. Therefore, the word Self is used to mean Atma. What is Self? Consciousness. What is it? Consciousness is Nityaha. How it is Nityaha? Not subject to time. How it is subject to time? Because it has no beginning. It's not born. Why? How it is not subject to death? It has no end. No beginning, no end, not subject to change. That means it is of the nature of knowing. Understand? That means Trishu api, all that exists in all three periods of time, not bound by time. Other than consciousness, everything in the world is subject to time. Now there's a time when things are, there's a time when things are not there, a time when things will not be there, would have undergone changes. This physical body is subject to time. Our every thought is subject to time. That's why flickering. We change, moods change, and things change, our thoughts change. Thoughts keeps on changing, the mind keeps on changing, in the sense that the body is changing, everything is subject to change. That is the nature of the Prakriti. It's subject to change. It is changing. And there's a big change. That is big change. First small changes and then big change. That's all. It is subject to change. Therefore, that's what anything which is subject to change is said to be time bound. Kala parichinnam. Kalena parichidyate. The kala is subject to time. What about the time? See, time has. Can you say time is timeless? Time is limitless. No, time itself, the very factor called time itself is time bound. Time itself has time limitation. Everything which exists in this world is subject to what? Time limitation. Any form. The chetanam, achetanam, sentient or insentient, living or non-living, mobile or immobile, everything that you see, everything is subject to time. That means everything is subject to change. This physical body is subject to time. But what is which is not subject to time? What is which is timeless? We say the time itself is subject to time. Time fact itself is subject to time. Except consciousness. Everything is subject to time, including the factor called time. Therefore, consciousness is free from time limitation. It is timelessness, is the Swarupam of Atma. Had to point out now, knowing is the Swarupam of Atma, changelessness is the Swarupam of Atma. Now I can say, timelessness is the Swarupam of Atma. How do you say timelessness? Because it is not bound by time. How do you say it is not bound by time? Because time has begun. From the standpoint of the time, the factor called time, understand? We say, what is time also is an object of knowledge. How do we say time is an object of knowledge? Because time is known to you. Anything which is known to you is an object of knowledge. Time is known to you. there is a time when the time is, there is a time when the time is not there. When the time is not there, when the jagat is not there, there is no time. Simple. In waking state, the perception is jagat is, time is, morning, evening is, all the time. We count the hours, minutes and seconds and fractional seconds, we have time. In deep sleep state, once you are not there, the jagat is not there, there is no time, there is no space. In deep sleep state, is there a factor called time? You can wake up and say how long you slept. That's a different thing. Is something called time in deep sleep state? Is a time consciousness in deep sleep state? There's no except consciousness. There's only pure consciousness. Nothing else is there. There's no jagat consciousness. There's no time consciousness. There's no space consciousness. There's no sukha-dukha consciousness. Nothing is there. Only pure consciousness. Understand? That is why time in deep sleep state, time being not there is known. In waking state, time being there is known. Therefore, time is an object of knowledge. Time being an object of knowledge, that which is aware of, the time being not there, time being there is free from time limitation. Not subject to time. Understand? That's why we say Bhagavan is called Kala Kalaha, Kala Kala Isharaha, Amrita Ghateshwaraha. We have many names in, you know, Kala Kalaha means what? Time of the time. Why time of the time? Because time is the devourer of everything. Sitting there, time is the only thing. Everything happens in time, comes into being in time, exists in time, passes away in time. And time alone is there, looking after everything. Therefore, time is said to be what we personify the time as the big devourer of everything. And Atma says, E kala, tum jagat bhakshakaha, aham tava bhakshakaha, I am your bhakshaka, I am a devourer of you. That means what? Consciousness is free from time limitation. Kalaha jagat bhakshakaha. Bhakshakaha, you know? Bhakshakaha, bhakshayati means eats. Jagat bhakshakaha, who? Kalaha. And kalasya bhakshakaha, who is kalasya bhakshakaha? Atma. Who is Atma? Chaitanyam Brahma. Understand? That which is not subject to time is said to be the devourer of the time. Therefore, trishu api kaleshu, in all three periods of time, Atma Rupena, as the Self, Absolute Self, as the Pure Self, as the Consciousness, as Pure Consciousness, as the Real Vastu, Atma Rupena Nityaha Eva. So, all of us were there before the birth of this body as Pure Consciousness. All of us are here in this form, still as consciousness, okay? Even though consciousness is. And even after the death of this body, we will all be there as the pure self. It's okay? So, let us go to the next verse now. So, see, even the differences now, I, you, these, those, no, all these differences, Veda Rupa, no, Dehasthana, from the standpoint of the physical bodies, the differences are there. Definitely differences are there. Understand, from the standpoint of the self, there is no difference. Understand? The standpoint of the Namarupa waves, the plural, its countability is possible. Countability is there. You can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Countability is possible from the standpoint of the waves, the standpoint of the water. There's no countability. Understand? What can you count? 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. You can't count because the standpoint of the self is only, there's only vastu. Therefore, Atma Rupena Nityaha. You can't remember. Atma Rupena Nityaha. anatrupena anityaha. Deha rupena, from the center of the dehas, where anityaha. Because deha is anatma, it is anityaha. We can't do anything about it. Okay. Dehi no sminyatha deha. That does not mean that you should not go to the doctor when you fall sick. Okay? You have to be prudent also. That's a different thing. Okay. Dehi no sminyatha dehe. Dehi no sminyatha dehe. Kaumaram yauvanam jara. Kaumaram yauvanam jara. Tatha dehantara praptihi.
Tatha dehantara praptihi.
Dhirastatra namuhyate.
Dhirastatra namuhyate.
We have the words muhyati, muhyate. We hear the word, says muhyate. I heard it as a child, muhyati. Both are okay. Ubhayapadi. Dehi nosmin yatha dehe.
Dehi nosmin yatha dehe.
Kaumaram yauvanam jara.
Kaumaram yauvanam jara.
Tatha dehantara praptihi.
Tatha dehantara praptihi.
Dhirastatra namuhyati.
Dhirastatra namuhyati.
Praptihi as prithva step. Tatha dehantara praptir dhirastatra namuhyati. Tatha dehantara praptihi. Dhiraha tatra na muhyati. Okay, what does this verse say? See, he says, suppose dehaha dehi. We have to learn two words. Okay? This physical body is called dehaha. And why it's called dehaha? Dahyamanatvat. Dahanam means burning. That which is constantly burning the calories. Really, Satyam. And I'm at law subject to get burnt, cremated. It burns and burns and burns. It is burnt one day. Understand? That's why it's called Dehaha. Satyam. Shariram shiryamana subhavat, it is called shariram. Subject to fall, it is called varam, okay? Subject to get integrated, it is, because it is meant to be put together. We are helpless, so that is called dehaha. And one who indwells the body, the dehaha, is called dehin. Nakarantaha pullinga shabdaha, pullinga dehin shabdaha. In prathamayam, in first vibhakti, it is called dehi. Who is the dehi? The one who indwells the dehaha is dehi. Okay? He says that dehi is not subject to change. Dehi doesn't undergo any changes. Dehi is there. But this dehaha undergoes changes. Dehi doesn't undergo any changes. Deha undergoes changes. Why? That is the nature of the dehi. Not undergoing just is the dehi. Understand? And this dehi object to change. And this first itself, coming into being itself is what? Asti. Purameva asti. Okay, sperm rupena asti. And then jayate is born, assumes a form and is born. Jayate, vardhate, it grows. Okay, viparinamate undergo metamorphosis. Then apakshiyate, kshiyate, nashyati. It slowly starts declining. Then one day totally undergoes changes. These sixfold modifications are, okay, inevitable on the part of the physical body. Not the physical body, any gross subject is subject to go through all these different changes. We give different names, that's all. Different changes do take place. Apart from that, we say, so this, what happened to Dehi? Dehi is always there without undergoing any changes. because changelessness is the nature of the Dehi. Even if we want, no, I want Dehi also to undergo changes. No, you can't do that. That's not the nature. He's like, no, I want the sun only to be very cool. No, sun cannot be. That's the beauty of the sun. She blaze, scorch, you know, she bright. That is how the sun should be. That's the beauty of this. Similarly, you can't expect it to be different. That is the Dehi. And this Deha is subject to change. And it, that's what we say first, no? Dehinaha. No, this Dehi is there, witnessing all the changes taking place on the part of the Deha. Understand? Subtle body is there as mind, as sense, the sense powers, and the powers of organs of action, and physiological functions. This Dehi is there very much, indwelling the body, physical body, Deha. And this Deha is what now? Yavanam, Kaumaram, Yavanam, Jara, childhood, boyhood, also childhood, common word. Childhood, that's a girlhood, then childhood, then Yavanam, youth, then Jara, old age. This every physical body goes through these stages. Can you stop it from aging, from getting old? One thing which nobody likes. People don't like aging. People don't like, really, nobody likes getting old. Okay? Some sort of people, many, this is an anathema, people hate it to be reminded of their getting old. This is satyam. So here, there is kaumaram, yavanam, and also what? Jara. Kaumaram, yavanam, jara. These three stages every physical body goes through. And what happens to Dehi? When the body, the changes take place on the body, and the, you know, death of the Kaumaram is the birth of Yavanam. Okay? The death of Yavanam is what? Birth of the old age. One change is the death of another thing. The already the three deaths and three births, okay? Young age dies. The childhood dies, the youthhood begins. The youth dies, old age begins. Birth of something. Three stages already. And what happens? Does the Dehi also, does the Dehi also have Yavanam, Kaumaram, Jara? No. Dehi is aware of this physical body going through the stages. But Dehi does not get affected by that. Dehi remains the same, witnessing the changes that is happening on the physical body. Similarly, it is natural for the same Dehi to assume an other physical body when the body dies. Deha antara praptihi. Deha antara means anyasya dehasya praptihi. Deha antara praptihi. Assuming another body also is natural for the Dehi. Like what? Like it is natural, it is acceptable, it is natural, Dehi remains unaffected, but the physical body goes through three stages. Yavanam, Kaumaram, Yavanam, Jara. It's very natural. So Dehi does, nothing happens to the Dehi. Three stages, old age, the Dehi, this physical body, then, you know, falls apart, then Dehi, what happens to Dehi? Nothing happens. Dehi continues to exist as it continued to exist, going through the stages of the physical body. Dehi continues to exist even after the fall of his body. It is, okay, it can assume a new physical body. It does assume a new physical body. Dehantara praptihi tatha bhavati satyam is a subtle fact. this is a subtle fact. Why I say, because it's not comprehensible. Using any binocular, any microscope, using anything, crushing my intellect, whatever I do, I cannot understand this fact. This is satyam, is a fact. Katham dehantara praptihi, how is it possible? Yatha asmin dehe, okay, dehinaha kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara praptihi. Katham? Yatha asmin dehe, just as in this physical body, dehinaha, for the dehi, no, dehi remains, is seeing the tejaha in the physical body, similarly dehi continues to exist without undergoing changes, even when the body falls, the body dies. Tatha dehantara praptihi. This is a fact about the dehi, this is the fact about the dehaha. Understand? Tatra tasmin vishaye dhiraha na muhyati. Who is the dhiraha? The wise person does not get deluded, does not get confused, does not get frightened, does not get, in fact, affected by this fact of dehi continuing to live and assuming another body. Who gets affected? Whoever gets affected is not dhiraha. We just want to ask who gets affected, okay? Whoever gets affected is not the dhiraha. Understand? Who is the dhiraha? The wise person. Who is wise person? I care of Mundaka Upanishad. Dhiraha, okay, tell you. Dhiyam rati iti dhiraha. Dhihi means buddhihi. Rati means protects. One who has got his buddhi, mind protected, is the dhiraha. Who is the one who has got his mind protected? Who has protected his mind? The one who is, one has protected, one has become free from fear for good, is the one who has protected his mind. Any mind where there is a thing called fear, that mind is unprotected mind. The protected mind is the one which is free from fear. The mind which is free from the phenomenon called fear is the protected mind, protection, okay? And the mind which is subject to fear is unprotected mind, the insecure mind, which seeks protection, which seeks security. Understand? So here, who is the dhiraha? One who knows this truth of the subtle fact of what is dehi, what is dehaha, how deha is subject to change. I can't change it. That's the nature of the deha. What is dehi? Dehi is subject to change. Dehi continues to survive always. Undergoing, seeing the, witnessing the changes of the physical body, it continues to exist. It assumes another body. Understand? One who knows these facts about the dehi and the dehaha, one who accepts them, okay, and he is free from fear of death. Why? Because he knows nothing can cause any death, destruction of the dehi. Dehi is not subject to death. He knows it for good. Therefore, he is free from fear. He knows that nothing can stop from undergoing changes this deha. Such a person is free from fear. The fearless person is the one who has protected his mind, he is the dhiraha, the bravest. Okay, the brave person. Therefore, dhiraha tatra na muhyati. Okay. Dehaha.
Dehaha.
Asya asti.
Asya asti.
Iti. Dehi.
Dehi.
Shankaracharya explains, who is a dehi? That means by stating who, what the dehi means, he distinguishes, he states very clearly, dehi is different from the dehaha. Okay? This physical body itself is not the self. Therefore, he makes it very clear. Dehi is, yasya dehaha saha dehi. Okay? So, he's one who has the deha is dehi. Tasya dehinaha.
Tasya dehinaha.
So here, who is the dehi here? Dehi is the Atma. Dehi is the Atma here. And dehi is what it is? It is the nakarantaha pullingaha shabdaha. Therefore, dehinaha. It is shashti ekavachane dehinaha iti rupam. Dehinaha means of that dehi. Tasya dehinaha. Who is dehi? Please give one more word. Dehavan. Dehaha asya asti. Like gunavan, dhanavan, bhagavan. Dehavan. So, that is takaran shabda dehavataha. Dehavataha is what again? Dehinaha shashti ekavachanam. Similarly, takaran shabdasya dehavan tasya dehavataha iti rupam. Okay, shashtyam ekavachane rupam. So, he says dehavataha. He gives one more word there. Nothing simple, difficult, simple meaning. Dehavataha. Who is Dehavan here? Atma. Dehavan or Dehi is Atma. Tasya Dehavataha Atmanaha Dehinaha Atmanaha. Asmin means in this. In which? Kasmin? Asmin Vartamane Dehe in this physical body which is now. Very much there. Dehe Yatha. Yatha means ena prakarena, in which manner, kaumaram. Kaumaram means what? Kumarasya bhavaha. Okay? It's a noun form of the kumarasya bhavaha is kaumaram, the childhood. Okay? Then, balya avastha, he explains what is kaumaram. Balya avastha, the stage of being a child. Okay? Balya avastha, then yavanam, yunaha bhavaha, madhya avastha, middle aged, or he is, you know, middle aged state, the state of the middle age. Okay, yavanam youth, not middle age. Yajara, jara hin vayohanihi jirna avastha, jirna avastha. So here is jirna avastha iti etaha tisraha avastha. Anyonya vilakshanaha. It now is the three stages which are different from each other. Each stage is different from each other stage. Anyonya vilakshanaha. Stages are there. Tasam. Prathama avastha. Prathama avasthanashe.
Prathama avasthanashe.
Prathama avasthanashe.
Prathama avastha
nashe.
Na nashaha.
See, prathama avastha nashe. See, when the first stage is destroyed, the balya avastha is destroyed, the destruction of the first stage, balya avastha, okay, then the dehi, there's no destruction of the dehi. The destruction of the first stage of the body, no, does not cause any destruction to the dehi. Similarly, he says, dvitiya avastha upajanane. Dvitiya avastha upajanane. Really speaking, see, when the first stage is destroyed, the first stage is gone, then that is the birth of the second stage. There is no real destruction. Okay, going away of the first stage is in fact giving, coming into the existence of the second stage. Where is the destruction? He's asking. Where is the destruction? Going away of the first stage is the coming into existence of the second stage. Dvitiya avastha jananam. Avasthayaha jananam. Janane na upajananam atmanaha. Na upajanam atmanaha. When the first stage goes, second stage comes into being, then the dehi, what happens to dehi? Dehi did not die and dehi does not come into being newly. When the new stage begins, dehi does not come into being. Dehi was there. And the old first stage now gone, even then the dehi did not die. Dehi was there. Dehi is there. The same Dehi continues to exist in the birth and the death of the first stage and the beginning of the new stage. That's what he says here. Kim tarhi.
Kim tarhi.
अविक्रियस्य एव एकस्य द्वितीय तृतीय अवस्था प्राप्तिः आत्मनः दृष्टा. देयरफॉर सो व्हाट किं तर्हि देन व्हाट देन व्हाट नो दिस अविक्रियस्य आत्मनः. So, see, this dehaha vikriyaha, dehi avikriyaha, atma avikriyaha, anatma vikriyaha, anatma subject to all these modifications, changes. Understand? It is atma avikriyasya dehinaha. Okay? For the dehi, the atma which is not subject to any change, no? Avikriyas dehinaha, but for this with the deha which is there, have to do all these changes. So he says here, avikriyasya eva, ekasya, dvitiya, tritiya, avastha praptihi, atmanaha drishta, tatha, tadvat, tatha means what? Similarly, so, tadvat, like that, tadvadeva, देहात् अन्यः देहः देहांतरम् देहात् अन्यः देहः. फ्रॉम वन स्टेज टू अनदर स्टेज देही सर्वाइव्ड. ओके, व्हेन द फिजिकल बॉडी चेंज फ्रॉम वन स्टेज टू अनदर स्टेज देही सर्वाइव्ड. सिमिलरली फ्रॉम दिस बॉडी इट कैन अस्यूम अनदर बॉडी आल्सो इज पॉसिबल. Okay, have some fun seeing it. You have attended moksha for something? Hey, moksha for my class. Excellent, good. See, at least you have some, whether you get moksha or not, you have some apekshika moksha in my class, because if you were able to fall asleep, that's fine. Anyaha dehaha. I'm going to change my class at 5 o'clock in the morning. I made the point. Velikama, come here. We all come to your house. Okay? 4 o'clock class in the morning. 4 to 6 class, and afterwards you can go to work. All of us will go for our work. And all of us will go home and go wherever they want to go and sleep nicely. That's fine? Yes, 4 o'clock class. I will all come to your house. 4 o'clock class. It will be very nice. Okay, dehat, anyaha, dehaha. Okay, from one body, going through another body also. Dehantaram, tasya praptihi, dehantara praptihi, avikriyaseva atmanaha ityarthaha. See, assuming, going to another body also is possible. Attainment of the other body, dehantara praptihi, is possible, is there for the dehi. That means dehi survives death. Dehi continues to exist. Understand? Dhiraha, who is dhiraha? Dhiman. Dhi means buddhihi. Dhiman means buddhiman. Buddhiman means intelligent. Who is the most intelligent? One who has made the best use of his buddhi shakti. Who is the one who has made the best buddhi shakti? One who has understood, discovered, you know, one who has made the best use of buddhi means the more and more and more and more and more you discover, you make the best use of the buddhi shakti. What is the best of the discovery is? Discovering the very self. And who is the discoverer of the self is the most intelligent, dhiman, buddhiman. We are also buddhiman. We are not buddhihinaha. We are also buddhiman, buddhimantaha only, not bandaha. We are also intelligent people. But still, understand what to say? Dhiman eva. Tatra evam sati. Okay, this is the thing. Na muhyati. Na moham apadyate. Na moham apadyate. Moham apadyate means he does not get deluded. He does not have any delusion. na mohyati, moham na apadyate. Okay, doesn't become, there's no delusion at all. He's very clear about these things. Okay, so dehasya, this so-called change, okay, this dehasya, this vikritihi on the part of the deha, the change on the part of the deha cannot be stopped, cannot be prevented, cannot be altered. But, okay, change avikriyaha, avikritihi, the changelessness on the part of the dehi, atma also is not changeable. Two things are not changeable, okay? Avikritihi, vikritihi, avikritihi. Change and the changelessness. Changelessness of the Atma cannot be changed. Change of the Anatma also cannot be changed. Understand what is subject to vikriti and what is not subject to vikriti. What is the nature of avikritihi? What is the nature of vikritihi? Vikriti or kese vikriya, okay? Therefore, understand this. Oh, this is another truth. Hey Arjuna, I had to remember Arjuna, so we have got about Arjuna now. Hey Arjuna, what are you worried about? Are you sad about the dehi? Are you sad about the dehaha? You should either be worried of this dehi of the all these people, you and me, or dehas of all of us. What are you worried about? Kasmin vishye tum anvashochaha, tum anushochasi. Deha vishye uta dehi vishye. Dehinam vishye. Kasya vishye anushochasi. Anushochanam kutaha. What is the need for it to grieve now? This is the dehi, this is the dehaha. So, are you still tired? Is this time? Time? It's okay. I don't know the time, you have to be...
It's quarter past four, we should stop.
When did we stop? Suppose half past four.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it okay? Okay, let me stop here now. Because next class is going to be very, very, very interesting class, important class. So, every class important. Which class is not important?
This is boring.
Okay, doesn't matter. I know, we can't help it. But now, what I'm saying, next class, we'll do a little more of, we'll make the deha, dehi difference proper. Okay? The whatever has been understood till now would be further commented upon by the following verses and become clearer. Whatever doubts you have now regarding whatever has been said now will be cleared when I will explain the meaning of the following verses. So you have to wait for the next Saturday. Or if you want to ask me anything also, you can ask, no problem. Yeah. Dehi.
Both of these verses and explanations don't mention at all the subtle body. Talk about the body.
Yeah.
This thing, which obviously dies and so on, is born. And the dehi, which is the self, changeless.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think, just hearing all this, there's this missing link.
Yeah, no, I just tell you one thing. That is something I told you. I told you we had to do some more classes. When I started Gita class without doing Bhashyam, I mentioned it. I don't know whether you remember this or not. In fact, I tell you, that which indwells the Dehaha is Dehi. Okay? So, therefore, Dehi literally means also the Sukshma Shariram, the subtle body. This body which has form, name, weight, heaviness, okay, this is what sthula dehaha or sthula shariram. And what indwells this physical body is said to be the sthul sukshma dehaha or sukshma shariram. Though we use the word, for us, whenever we hear the word shariram or dehaha, immediately we think of a form. Really speaking, sukshma dehaha, sukshma shariram has no form. It's a formless. But instead of, because it indwells the, like the air which fills the balloon has the form. The air has no form, but when in, with the, from the standpoint of the balloon it is filled in, you know, it has form, balloon form. Similarly, this sukshma deha also, don't think, imagine like a balloon, okay? Just I'm saying, example. This physical body, the sukshma deha, sukshma though we mean it, there is something which indwells the physical body, okay? And 16 factors together constitute the sukshma shariram, which we discussed last a little bit. Okay, like 5 sense powers, 5 powers of organs of action, 5 physiological functions, the mind, together 16 factors together constitute the sukshma shariram. This sukshma shariram has no form. No form, please understand, it has no form. They're just there. Understand? This sukshma being manifest can be understood, it cannot be seen. That is why we call it, because it's imperceptible, invisible, that is why we call it sukshma. Anything perceptible becomes what? Sthula. Understand? Imperceptible. Therefore, but though it is imperceptible, not available for sense perception, but still you can understand the sukshma being manifest. You understand that? Therefore, it is subtle. And this sukshma shariram is said to be indwelling, not said to be, it does indwell the physical body. It's called the dehi. Understand? And we go one step further. Anything, so what, see, the subtle body indwells the physical body, and what indwells the subtle body is the very substance. Understand? Okay, the water indwells the wave. When I say similarly, that which indwells the subtle body is what? Consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is dehi from the standpoint of the subtle body. Subtle body is the dehi from the standpoint of the gross body. We can just say, so dehi is just, we can say, atma. Understand? Just we said that. We use the word. We'll see the difference. Don't worry about it. I'll make it very, very, very clear. The difference. Don't worry about it. Nothing to worry about it. Because Bhagavad Gita does not talk about all those things. Bhagavad Gita itself, we have to have a certain understanding, then we can understand Bhagavad Gita. These words are given and we have Bhashyam. Shankar Bhagavad Pada is coming along with this, along with Krishna, so that to make us understand what Krishna means. To make us understand the heart of Krishna, we need to have support and help of Shankaracharya. We have to understand his heart. You know, that is the thing. So when it, not interpret, it's not simply saying, simply talking about, oh, the body, not like that. Understanding subtle facts. That is the purpose of studying Bhagavad Gita, to be short. Though we say no, we're known all those things, it will help us understand the subtle facts which cannot be understood by studying any other sciences. That is why it's Moksha Shastram, it's Brahma Vidya, Yoga Shastram. Understand? So, anything else?
I can understand speaking about the subtle body and the seat of action, the things that produce actions, because yeah, that's not physical, actions come, they're subtle. But about the tendency to act in one way or another, the good, or, you know, the tendency to act well or the tendency to act badly, I know that comes later in Bhagavad Gita. But how does that
relate to the subtle body that you're speaking about.
Desire.
Yeah.
Yeah, desire comes. That's what we discussed. Yes. We discussed all those things earlier in the Avatarika Bhashyam. What is that which impels a man to do the action, to do any right action or wrong action? Any action is expression of the pressure caused in the mind. What is the pressure? The pressure itself is desire.
Yeah.
Why there's desire? Because there is inadequacy. There's a need. Need to become adequate. Why there is need to become adequate? Because there is inadequacy.
Mm.
Why there is inadequacy? Because there is a sense of being limited.
Mm.
Why is the sense of being limited? Because it's the wrong identity.
Mm.
Okay? When the identity is with the time-wise, spatially, object-wise limited object, then there is sense of limitation. That sense of limitation causes inadequacy, results in inadequacy. The inadequacy results in the pressure which causes desire. That therefore the identity is because of the ignorance. Wrong identity is because of self-ignorance. Therefore, what is solution? You have to know the self. Because of the ignorance of the self, there is the shokaha, there is mohaha. Because shoka and moha, all this wrong identity, and I sense, my sense, attachment, all these things, all that we have, the clouded ideas, all expressions of what? Born of wrong understanding. The basic understanding has to be corrected, and all these wrong notions, the wrong notion born, all the problems will resolve. We can undo anything, we can resolve them. Only way is to give self-knowledge. That is why Gita Yaha Pata Arambaha Kriyate Iti Arambe, it has been said and it has been started.
Thank you.
In the Avatarika Bhashyam, maybe you can listen to the introductory classes. I know you know that, I don't say no. Because we just gave some classes, you can listen to that. We had a long bhashyam before we came to this thing. Shankaracharya does one good thing. In all the Upanishads, he has his own way of presenting an imaginary objections from people of other schools of thought, and he also refutes them. Even the other school of the person of other school of thought wouldn't have been so intelligent to doubt, create such doubts. And he creates all the possible doubts, and he refutes all the possible doubts, all the doubts, okay, all the arguments, and establishes so that when we study, we will not doubt Shankaracharya. No, we are too small to doubt him, but still, we may think, oh, what should I think Shankaracharya says? No. He, all the possibilities, he has to present us to make, convince us, in fact, to say how right he is, how correct he is, to convince us, he's refuting as though he's refuting our schools of thought, our schools, people of other schools. Amazing, isn't it? Actually, Ishavasyam, Daitriyam, and every Bhashyam has Avatarika Bhashyam, it takes so much it says. Keep very clear, very clear. Why this discussion at all come into being? Why should I talk about what is Atma, what is Anatma, what is real, what is not real, what is subject to change, what is not subject to change? Why should I talk about it? Before he starts writing the Bhashyam, why should Krishna talk about this to Arjuna? Because he wants to help him to get off this delusion, the confusion, the problems, the sorrow, the grief is purely because of his delusion, mohaha. The shoka is because of moha. Moha is because of all the problems based on this I sense and my sense. That is because of the ayatma jnanam. Therefore, patasya arambaha kriyate. Therefore, the self-unfoldment, the nature of the self is unfolded here for that sake. Why? Kimartham? Why should I know the self? Why should we study this? That's why it's said. So in understanding all these things, we don't try to, but Shastram is not at all interested in undoing, changing anything that is here. It just, the aim of the Shastram is to make us understand what the desire is, what the anger is, what the delusion is, what the confusion is, what do we mean by the jealousy, hate, etc., etc., what every emotion means, what do you mean by the word love, what do you mean by attachment, what do you mean by loneliness, what do you mean by all these things, what does it mean? Doesn't say undo this, give up that, no. Because what can be given up? Everything is Bhagavan. Who can give up? What can be given up? How can you give up? How strong are you to give up? Just the only question of understanding. Shastram is aiming at only help, no? So understand what these things are, what the desire is, what the anger is, what the delusion is, what the ignorance is, what the sorrow is, what is this thing, the attachment is, what this missing is, what this misery is, what this need is, why these are all there. Understand this. How can you understand? You are systematic. Understand, that's why people ask, how long should I study Bhagavad Gita? 2.5 years course? No! Until the knowledge takes place, keep on studying. It's not 3.5 years course, it's not 3 years course, it's not 1 month's program, it's a crash program. Definitely not package course. That is why always it continues. Study for years, study until the knowledge takes place, study until the clarity dawns. Keep on studying how committed you are, how you are serious, how genuine you are to this study, then it should work. You know, it should work, it will work, because it promises, the means of knowledge should work, and it continues. Not part of the whole of the next Janma is there, don't worry. Always pick up the thread where we leave, we can continue. No problem, at least we are here in the track. I tell you, with this we go, we can come back with the same book. So you're touching again. So we are holding on to Bhagavad Gita, we won't be let down. Bhagavan will not let down us. Let us down at all. Oh. Tell me. Have anything to ask?
Oh, it's just the kind of the paradox about that the self can't actually be known. Like, what you're saying is that the self knows, it perceives it. But the self itself can't be known.
Self cannot be known as the known. Self can be known as the knower. But
self,
how to know
the
self?
As the knower, but how if the self?
Yeah, self
that
can be
like a paradox. Self is known as the knower.
No, self can be known means self can be known as the known, as an object of knowledge. But self can be known as the very origin, the source of knowledge.
But what knows? It knows itself.
Self itself knows.
It
suppose
knows
what
itself.
Light, what, do you need another light to know whether there's light or not? The self-luminous, isn't it? Do you need to go and pick up a torchlight to know whether there's light or not? Don't need. Because light is self, that is the swarupam, okay? Light illumines objects around and it is self-revealing. Similarly, everything is evident to the self and the self is self-evident. Self is the evidence for anything which is evident to the self. And the self is the evidence for the self. Therefore, it is self-evident. There's no other evidence. Do I need to come and tell you are there? Even if it's darkness, you're sitting there. And I come to your house, in dark room you're sitting. I stumble upon many chairs. And when I come near you, I may put my foot on you. I'm here. I have to say that. Do you need to ask, am I sitting here? You don't need. Understand? You know you are. That itself is a great thing, isn't it? From there you have to pick up. If you know you are, then who you are. That is how you self can be known.
Thank you.
Have you said something? No? Have you satisfied? Is satisfactory?
Yeah, thank you.
Even at the best, keep coming. We'll try to help you. I just say, I seek Bhagavan's grace to help you.
You.
I don't say, I can do it. We'll see. We'll prayerfully do it.
Yeah. But is ultimately the known, the self...
Pardon?
Ultimately, is the known the self? Ultimately, in the final...
Absolutely,
state,
yeah.
The known
is the also is the self, absolutely.
Yeah.
See, first we see this all distinct. Yes, we say the knower, known, etc.
Yeah.
At last, there's no such thing called known, okay? every known is the knower, basically. There's no such called knower, okay? From the standpoint of the known, we only say the knower, etc.
Yeah.
Okay? Ultimately, what is pure knowledge?
So the object is... Sorry, I'm
interrupting. No, go on.
So the object is no longer perceived as separate.
Yeah.
There's not the knower.
That's what I'm saying.
That whole thing is completely
dissolved. Yeah, all the differences relatively are there. The known, the knower, the knowledge, the known, okay, the knowing, the knower, known, knowing, act, okay, knowing, all these things. You got Triputi, okay, Jnatru, Jnana, Jnayam. Jnata, the knower, Jnayam, the known, Jnanam, the knowledge, understand?
Mm-hmm.
All these differences, Triputi, Bhedaha, are there relatively. And absolutely, when you understand the reality, all these differences will be resolved. This is slowly Shastra will work. It helps us. You can see how the clarity enhances. Do you find anything, any such thing? You don't find? It very slow, but slow and steady, very clearly it enhances. You will see all these differences will be resolved. Triputi Bheda, Gatri Jnana, Jnaya Bhedaha, all this will be resolved. First you say knower. Then you say the known, the knowing, all the things are resolved in one thing.
Thank you.
Relatively, these differences are there, but absolutely, these differences are not
okay,
there.
Yeah.
Understanding the non-difference in absolutely is our aim.
Okay.
The relative differences are already known. We did not study Shastram to know the differences.
Yeah.
We already know. Without studying Shastram, we know the differences being there. By studying the Shastram, we have to understand the non-difference. That is the purpose.
Mm.
Understand the non-difference helps us to get off our problems.
Mm.
That is why we are interested. We are not interested in really knowing the non-difference. You see, what is there?
Mm.
What do I gain out of it?
Mm.
Understand? We have to see the utility. We are utilitarians, aren't we? We have to see what we gain out of it.
Yeah.